listen to people sometimes and they'll preach it. And that thing will go all the way right down to, I mean, the last sentence the guy makes and God says, amen? Listen, if you come looking for God, you're going to find him somewhere. And everything that goes on. And I want to say this to you all that have been here all week, and it's been a blessing to be here with you. It's been a blessing to see your attitude, amen, towards the Lord. And your attitude toward God when God moves, amen. And I just admonish you, amen. Don't ever let go of that.
That's right. That's right.
Don't ever let go of that. There's going to be some time in your life when you're going to really lose that, amen. All right, Brother Dale, you ready?
Yes, sir.
It's your turn, brother.
Amen.
You plugged in?
Yes, sir.
Here, let's plug this in then.
Plug it in.
Amen. Get it turned on. Okay, brother.
Amen.
I believe you're on.
Yeah, it's on.
There you go, man.
Excellent. Good to be here this week. Yes, thank you. A couple things real quick. If you've been here all week, or even if you haven't, just the last few nights, thank you, buddy. If you haven't gotten any help, number one, you're perfect. You don't need it. Number two, you're just rejecting it. That's all there is to it. If you didn't get help this week or even in the last few days, you're either perfect and don't need it or you're just rejecting it. About 2 weeks before this meeting even started, me and my wife had already started going through it. The Lord does it to us every single year. You know what he does, brother? He unravels it during this week. He makes it all clear to us why these things are happening, why this is going on. That's why it's important to be prayed up for this meeting. Not only for the meeting itself, but for you and what God has. Listen, you need it just as well as any young person or anybody. We all need it. If you think there's going to come a time in your life where you don't need it, you are in a serious, troublesome spot. You better ask God for mercy. You better beg him to get you out of it. We're going to be in Job 10. Job chapter 10. It's just been good to be here this week. I mean, the Lord, he's moved. The preaching here at Black Creek Baptist Church, I say it every single time. We're just a little town. And the men of God and the preaching that goes on here, just what a blessing it is. Yesterday went fishing for a little bit with Brother Dave and Zach and my son. You know, we didn't catch much of anything to talk about, but boy, it was just a good time hanging out. Good time of fellowship. And that's what you should be looking for. Hey, get rid of, listen, who you hang out with is who you're going to become. I know we all have unsaved family members and so on. I understand you're going to be there. I understand all that. But listen, there's a time that you can cross that threshold and you're just hanging out with the worldly people just a little too much. And you know what? Sooner or later, you're going to creep right into that. Little by little, you're just going to start doing the things they do, start saying the things they say. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Job 10. Hey, Brother Caleb, could you do me a favor? Would you stand and pray for the service real quick? Thank you.
Dear God, we thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, of coming to your service, Lord, coming to your house. One more time, dear God, I pray you please, Lord, bless the meeting this morning, dear God. Show us, Lord, enlighten our hearts, Lord, to some truths, dear God, in your word. Get us through the next day, Lord. Give us our daily bread today. And help Brother Dale as he preaches, Lord. I pray, God, that you preach through him, Lord, and fill his mouth with your word, dear God. Give us something great and mighty from heaven, Lord. Fill this room with your power, Lord. And just help us, Lord, bless the fellowship. And let us all be of one mind and one spirit, Lord, all in one accord, dear God. Bless us and help us today, Lord. I pray.
You're holding up.
Pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, bro. Before I get started, as Moses, I'm not a man of eloquent speech, okay? I'm an ex-gang member. Grew up in boys' homes, state prisons, jails in 3 different states. Been in many rehabs, mental hospitals, lived on the streets, did just about every kind of drug known to mankind except for the new ones. Thank God I got delivered from that.
Amen.
I don't know much about manuscript evidence and so on, and the pastor said that this week. But one thing you can't ever tell me is that this is not the perfect word of God.
Amen.
You can't ever convince me. I don't care what you come at me with, you'll never convince me that this is not the living word of God. This thing knows me inside and out. And I'm going to tell you, young people, the reason why you don't read your Bible on a daily basis, you don't want to see what you are.
Yeah.
You're right.
hard stuff, seeing what you are.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, you'll never be, and I'm going to quote this right, you'll never be made free. There's a difference between being set free and made free.
Amen.
Being set free means you had that freedom already and lost it. I never had been set free. I've been set free many times. They let me in and out of jails as much as I wanted to go in there. They set me free. But after salvation, I was made free. Something that I was never before happened to me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. That new creature he's talking about. Here you might see Dale Moore had the same name, the same tattoos. But I'll tell you, stands today a creature that never existed until Jesus Christ came into my heart.
Amen.
That's where I've been made free.
Amen.
Jesus wants to do that for every person in here, young, old, and in between. Says, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And before you get to that repentance, let me just say this. I read it this morning in Proverbs 7. That strange woman's a picture of the world. And it says that man diligently. She's diligent. She's diligent in seeking him out. He's diligent in seeking her out. I'm just going to tell you now, if you want salvation, you best get in your Bible and be diligent, because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember this week when God pricked your heart. Remember the tears that you shed. Because what happens most time is we just go ahead, we leave that alone, we walk away from that. We forget about what God dealt with us on. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we forget about that. We say, oh, that was just Tuesday, or that was just Wednesday. Wednesday, the service at Letchworth. I mean, that was a service. God moved through that place. And I'm just telling you, when God, if God touched you, and I'm sure he touched every one of us in a certain way, listen, don't let go of that thing. Hold on to that thing. Remember that thing. Because I'm telling you now, it needs to make you diligent.
Yes, sir.
Look back at your life. How well has it been since you have not been diligent? You'll be diligent in everything else. Why not seeking the Lord? Why not the new life that he wants to give you? Why not the peace and the joy? Why not the happiness that you can have from seeking him diligently?
Amen.
You'll know where you're at. You'll know because your heart tells you where you're at. Yeah. You can see it in your life. And let me just say this. I know, I'm sure the men of God who've been around a lot longer than me, I've only been saved. This October will make 5 years of me being saved. But I'm just telling you, the more you try to hide who you are, the more you expose yourself. I just want you to know that.
Yes, sir.
It's the truth. I mean, you get to see it. And I've only been saved 5 years. How do we know that right here?
Yeah.
So where's that?
You're right.
You want the key? You know, we all, most of us have kids. Not all of us. Young people don't have it, thank God. Not yet. But those of us who have kids are not born with instruction manuals. But when you get saved, God gives you an instruction manual. That's how much he loves you.
Amen.
He gave you an instruction manual how to run your life. And if you're not saved, that's the instruction manual how to get saved.
Sure.
Don't let it sit there. I mean, young people, especially for those, even those who are not saved, have you looked around and seen the death, the turmoil? I mean, do you think, how do you know here in the next 2 minutes you're not going to drop dead in a pew? If that doesn't, you know what today happened today? There's no fear of God anymore. There's no fear. You can sit up here and preach hell all day long, and there's no fear of that. They think they're going to the party.
Yeah. Right. Sure as that.
There's no fear of God anymore. Romans 1:28 says they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Why do you think that is? Because the more God they have in their knowledge, the more they realize what they really are. They don't want to see what they are. They're enjoying their sin. They're enjoying what they're into. They're enjoying that life. And we all know, we're all heathens, unsaved people, that sin has pleasure for a season. Then it becomes hard. Job 10. I said all that to get to this. Verses 1 and 2. My soul is weary of life, and I know that this week people have had weariness of soul. They've had weariness of their life this week. They've heard the word of God. They've heard it preached. They know that the Holy Ghost has convicted them. And he says, I will leave my complaint upon myself. You know what's in there. You don't have to come out and say it, but you know it's in there. And he says this, he goes, and I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Here's what I want to get to today. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Job was going through some tough times, and even his friends were against him. And as Job came to this point where the trouble has broken him, and in the midst of it, he asked God, God, don't condemn me. Show me what you can. What is God contending with you today? What has God contended with you throughout this week? What is that thing that you will not face? What is that thing that you know that God has brought to the surface for you? What is that thing that God has in between you and him? Now, he wants nothing more but to show it to you. He says, come, let us reason together. He wants to show you this thing. He wants you to see it. Why? So that you can help get settled in this thing. You don't have to walk out of here unsaved. You don't have to walk another minute without Jesus Christ. You don't have to walk another minute without the Bible. You don't have to walk another minute without peace.
Amen.
There's not a person in here who's lost, or a young person who's lost, who does not want peace. And if you say you don't want peace, you're a liar. And you know who the Father is? Your Father's the devil. You're just like him. That's what the Word of God says. You want that peace? You want life? I know you're afraid of what everybody else is going to think of you. I know how that is. But let me just tell you this. Let me just give you a little update. Every time I went to jail, prison, mental hospital, or rehab, none of my homies, none of my friends ever came to support me, ever came to help me. Let me just tell you this now. The only friends that do that today are my Christian friends. My Christian family, that's the ones who help me. Those are the ones who pray for me. Those are the ones who help me and my wife. Not these people out here. They could care less. They're not paying my bills. They're not putting no food on my table. Well, listen, when you're dead and going to hell, you're going to pay for that yourself. Your friends aren't going to be there to hold your hand. And you're worried about what people are going to think of you? Your soul is so much more to God than that. You know you're not here this week by accident. If you do not know that, then you just don't know the God of the Bible. You have been given life to sit here in these pews this week. God is a merciful, long-suffering God, but there's a time he goes, yeah, that's it, it's over.
That's right.
You guys are getting the opportunity of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Bring it in black for you. You've heard me preaching all week. God has been stirring that fallow ground in your heart. He's trying to break it up so that seed can be put in there and it can be watered and planted and he can give that increase. Stop rejecting it.
Yeah.
He's got something that's in it. And he wants, listen, I knew all the sins. I knew that being a gang member was a bad thing and being a drug addict was a bad thing. I knew all that stuff was sin. But you know what God was trying to do? Proverbs 20:27 says the spirit of man is a candle that he puts in. It's a light. That inward, that most deepest part of who I am. He was trying to show me that because I knew the other things were wrong. I knew they were sin. I would admit to you 100%. But that thing in there that God had to get in there and show me what it really was. This is what I have against you, Dale. This is it. But you know what you do? You keep blowing that candle out.
Yeah.
It's hard. But I'm going to tell you now. The little bit that you do have to go through can't compare it to what you'll go through for, listen to me, for the rest of your life and eternity.
Yeah, you're right.
Stop blowing that candle out. Let him get in there and search that thing. It's hard. It hurts. But he says, I'm coming to heal. He's not coming to be mean. He's not trying to torture you. Turn with me to Psalm 51:17. The Lord showed me this one day. I just got to show you this. 51:17. Psalm 51, verse 17. He's in there trying to search it and bring it out. And I'm just going to tell you, this is where a lot of people are today. Psalm 51 verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. I'm just telling you now, there's so many people sitting amongst these pews today who have a broken spirit and a broken heart. What did I leave off? I left off the contrition. There is no more deep sorrow for that sin that you've done against God. That is missing. We have these people sitting in the pews today who can have a broken heart all day. They can have a broken spirit, but they will never allow God to bring them to that place of contrition where they understand how deep of a sorrow that is that God has against them. They just won't look at it.
Right. That's right.
It's enough of a contrition that he went to the cross. How serious do you think God is on this thing? Right here.
Right.
That's what it took. The other day I was reading the account of Jesus Christ. He got sold out. They're coming to get him. I just closed my eyes as I was picturing everything that's going on. And it says he kept his mouth closed. You know why? Because he had me on his mind. He had every single one of you on his mind. And he was going to take it willingly. That's what he did for you. He didn't do it just for me. He didn't do it just for the pastors and the preachers and the evangelists. He did it for every single person that's sitting in here. The thing is, you don't want to see that. Go and read the account. I don't care what gospel you pick. Read the account of Jesus Christ and what he went through. And then put yourself there that this is what he done for you.
Right.
Kept his mouth closed. They're ripping the beard, spitting on him, he's dripping off him, kicking a crown of thorns on his head, putting the robe on him, mocking him. Is it a wonder why he's trying to get your attention? Is it a wonder why he's trying to bring me to that place of contrition? Why is he just trying to torture me? I've already been through bad things. No. It's not what he's doing. It's his love that drives him to do that. It's his love that drives him to do that. I know before I got saved, I said, I just can't forgive these people that have done these horrible things to me. How can I ever forgive that? And the Lord said, Dale, I just want you to worry about what you've done to me and I'll take care of the rest. And I'm just going to tell you right now, as God is my witness, he took care of the rest. I have nothing against anybody. I don't have anything against anybody. The man that took my purity as a kid, I don't have anything against him. I can sleep at night and it doesn't bother me. I can sleep at night and it doesn't bother me the life that I used to live because Jesus Christ took care of that. But I had to see what he had against me. I had to see what he had against me. I had to see what he had against me. And then he took care of the rest. Then he took care of the rest. Then I got the peace that passes all understanding. I'm just telling you. Don't shut this thing off. God's got something. He wants to show this thing to you. Why? So you can heal that thing. He wants to heal it. I know how bad it hurts. Believe me, you. And there's not a person in here who's saved who doesn't understand how that feels. They understand it. They've been through it. But that's his love. You take it as, just another person trying to hurt me. No, he's not. He wants to heal you. He wants to make you better. You know what we try to do? We just try to cover it up with a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Pour some alcohol on it. Forget it until next year. Maybe next teen week. What if you don't get it next week? What if you don't get it next Wednesday or Sunday service? Do you think you can answer that by yourself? You cannot stand before God and answer. You need Jesus Christ. You need the blood of Jesus Christ. You need that in your life. You have to see that. You can be diligent for anything you want, but you're missing the most important thing. God didn't give us this word for us just to look at, or nowadays, like Brother Lou said, people are just carrying iPads and stuff in the church. And you guys know that aggravates me. I don't say much on it, but I did one time I preached on it. But what's wrong with carrying a Bible at the church? When we carry other things, and I'm only going to say this and then I'm going to get off of it. But when we start carrying other things, they have their place, okay? Don't get me wrong. Sometimes I use them for when I'm studying it. They have their place. But I wouldn't bring one up here to preach. I have to make sure that if I do, you guys can see I print verses off. I go through and make sure it lines up with my Bible. Because they change. There's a lot of things changed in there. So I make sure. Before I print it on here, I go through my Bible and make sure it's with that. But just to let you know, okay? But I do use them. They have their place. But what are we showing these young people? What are we showing them? To go ahead and get rid of that Bible in your hand. What do we show? I don't know anywhere in there where Jesus Christ would be okay with you carrying an iPad to church. I don't get it. Yeah. Well, that's just how I feel about it. I understand that my kids will never carry an iPad to church. Okay? They can have a Bible in their hand. Jeremiah 17:10, please. Jeremiah 17:10. I want to show you something here the Lord gave me the other day. It's a blessing when you're sitting down and, I'm going to college and I'm not going there to learn a Bible, anything about Bible. I learn my Bible here in my church, the Pillar and Ground of Truth. This is where I learn the Bible underneath my pastor. Okay? But I'm going there because it's going to help me when I get into the prisons and jail systems that have that type of paperwork. Okay? So I'm going there to learn that kind of anyway. And so I work a job. I have a ministry, Liberty Behind Bars Ministry, if you can keep that in prayer, please. I serve, come here. I'm a Sunday school teacher for the young adults and teens. I take care of a family. Do you guys get my point about me reading the Bible? If you think you don't have enough time, you're going to have to make time. Don't think it's ever going to come. You're going to have to just make time. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the back. I'm saying that to help you. Because I'm just telling, I'll read my Bible later, and then 100 things. There's times that I have to miss just because that's it. I just couldn't get it in. But the very first thing I know, I come home and I tell my wife and kids, all right, everybody quiet. I'm going in the room, I'm going to read. That's it. I'm going to go do it. It's the first thing I'm doing. I'm not going to sit down and try to relax for a minute or anything because, that's it. There goes my Bible reading. I'm not doing it. Oh, I love the reading the Bible because the Lord gives me so much. Every single day He gives me something, at least one thing. Anyway, Jeremiah 17, verse 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You see, the Lord tries the heart there, but a lot of people leave out the very next thing it says. He's also trying the reins. Well, what's a rein? Well, a rein is something that steers a horse or whatever. It's a rein. You know what? God's not only searching your heart. He's trying to show you what drives your heart to do those things. What steers your heart in the way that it's going. He's trying to get you to see what is steering your heart. He already knows, you see. We think that, God's just showing us this for the... He already knows. He's got to get you to see it. He's got to get you to see what's driving your heart. What's not, it's not only in your heart, but what's making your heart do those things. Yeah. Young people, I'm just telling you. I know some of you have, good backgrounds and you're raised in church and all that. But this world's going to try to eat you apart. The devil's going to try to eat you apart. Let God show. Hey, listen, as a saved person, there's still things in my heart that God has to show me why. He has to show me my heart. He has to show me why my heart is going that way. He's got to show me. He's got to not only try my heart to show me, but he's got to show me what's driving my heart to go in that direction. Because he doesn't only want my heart to be clean, but he wants the reason behind it to be cleaned up. What's boundaries? America, including Christians, have lost boundaries.
Yeah.
They've lost, and I'm not talking about how you dress. I'm just talking about the boundaries I have in my life. Because if I cross a certain threshold, may not come. I'll just tell you this. There's things in your life that people in your church can get away with, and it's okay. God's okay with that. But there's things in your life, if you try it, you're going to be in trouble. Why is that? You know why that is? The Maurys have different protection needs than what your family needs.
Amen.
That's just how good our God is. He's just a personal God. He knows that there's certain things in my family's life that we just can never do. And you guys are okay with it. And God's okay with that. And that's a good, that's a loving God. Somebody will take the time to teach you and show you that. And you don't want that? How you doing? How's your life going? I mean, be honest with you. You don't have to come out and say how bad your life is. We can just see it on your face. There's people here I haven't seen smile all week. Not one smile. Not one smile.
Yeah.
You can't hide it. Back then, when the Holy Ghost starts moving in here, watch the people on their seats. I'm just telling you. Why? He's trying that rain. He's trying to show you the heart. He's trying to show you what he has against you. He's trying to show you why he's contending with you. He's trying to show you what is between you and him. And it's not the things that you already know. There's something else.
Yeah.
There's something else. I knew all those things. October 10th, 2011. Willis Shankles was preaching a meeting. I got so tore up. I ran out of this church. Ran out of this church. I was under such conviction, I ran out of this church. And I got home, I said, Amy, please call the pastor. Please call him, I can't do it. Please call the pastor and call Shankles. Why, so they can lead me through the Romans Road? No. No, my pastor wouldn't allow that. You know, they even got in the corner and prayed over me until I got it right. I saved that night. I've been saved ever since. And it didn't take the Romans Road to get me there. I'm just going to let you know that now. That's right. That's right. And I'm just telling you, I was ready to do backflip. I said, I'm going to preach. It was pretty late now. I'm going on the street corners. I'm going to preach right now. I was so happy. I was just so happy. And you know what, Brother Tim? The best pillow I ever slept on was a clear conscience for the first time in my life.
Hallelujah.
I didn't need pills. You ask my pastor, I was on 19 psychotropic pills a day. They diagnosed me with everything possible. I take zero today.
Amen.
You know what it was? That conscience. Amen. God had to show me my conscience. He had to show that inward thing I'm telling you about, that pain. I tried to cover it up with narcotics and drinking and everything else. So bad, so that the psychiatrist said, Dale, my wife was sitting there, she'll testify. In the room at the psychiatrist's office, said, there's no hope for you. That's what he told me. Malian? There's no hope for me, huh? Guess what? About a year ago, I got to go to witness to him for 2 hours. Because I was going to get a pain stimulator put in my back because I got a lot of back problems. He goes, I remember you. Yeah, you remember me. For 2 hours, I kid you not, you asked my wife, I sat there and I witnessed to him for 2 hours. He goes, my goodness, you have a story. I said, I go to the Black Creek Baptist Church. I said, it's open. He goes, I'll have to remember that. He's seen there's hope. I'm telling you now, he understands every time he's writing the script. I bet you he thinks about the Lord doesn't he? Maybe I'll send him over this way a little bit. Maybe I'll send him with some good Bible preaching. Let that conscience become, hey, listen, the conscience hurts, but you know what? You got to see it. And then you'll understand fully. Well, God did what he did. Why he does what he does. I'm just telling you, it'll make sense to you. But everybody wants to, you know what, put a band-aid on that conscience, drink it up, drug it up, whatever, legal or illegal drugs, it doesn't matter. You know what? Because everybody's afraid to see what God has against them. They're afraid to face their conscience. God put that conscience in there. My pastor taught me this. You have nerve endings. You pinch yourself out. It hurts. You know why you get depressed? Because God's telling you you're doing something wrong. It hurts. That's your conscience. It should bother you. Let him try those reins. Let him try that heart. Go through the little bit of pain that you'll have to go through. Go through the hard time. The day I got saved, that'll be with me for eternity. I can almost play by play every second that happened after that. And just the peace of my life, just the changes instantly. You know what happened? They had me on all kinds of medicines for my anger. Because I could never control my anger. And so my brain waves were the same as somebody having a seizure, so they had to put me on medicines to keep me calm. The first thing I knew after salvation, one of the first things I knew the next day, I got to sleep with a clean conscience that night. But the second thing I understood, Brother Lou, I caught myself getting angry for the first time. I knew I was getting angry and I was able to stop myself. Woo!
Yeah.
I'm getting mad, oh man. I'm getting mad. I knew I was getting mad. I was able to control it. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got beat up. Nobody got
killed. Right.
I never touched a drink after that.
Amen.
Never did drugs after that. Hey, you know what? I never even went back to jail. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I'm just telling you. I got about a 17-page rap sheet, and that's no lie. You ask my wife of all violent felonies. I think I got one or two little misdemeanors on there. The rest are violent felonies in 3 different states. I've done some serious jail and prison time. What do you think changed this man? Let me just tell you this. Number one, the love of my family did not change me. That will never change you. Your family's love cannot get deep enough in there to change you.
Right.
If you have children, that will not stop you. It will not change you. You can love all your children, and your children can love you as much as they want, but it will never stop you from doing what you do. There's only one love that will change that. That's Jesus Christ. As God is my witness, it's Jesus Christ and His love that changed Dale Moore.
Amen.
What you see here today is not because of me. I can guarantee you that. I'll tell you another quick... We bought a house a couple years ago. And then about 2 years after that, you ready for this? The correction officer that was over me in prison is now my next door neighbor who I've gotten to witness to. You tell me. I mean, what a God. What a God to do that. Am I, is that not great? I'm just telling you think serving God is just some boring thing. It's for weak people. I mean, just tell you this. About after 6 months I got saved, the Lord said, Dale, time to strap on the boots. Now time to go through some training. If you think Christianity is just somebody who is weak and they can't handle their own life, then you might as well not even try to get into it then. Because it's not. But you know what God has to do? He's got to get that stuff out of you.
Yeah.
And it's painful. Anything. Go ahead and take a long sliver or something and get it sideways in there, real deep in there, try to get that thing out. It hurts when it's got to come out, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what's in you. 40 years I've lived my life that way. 40 years. God's stripping me on a daily basis of things. And you think it's easy? It's not easy. But nobody wants to face it. Nobody wants to deal with the pain. But I'm just telling you now, let God give you a little bit of pain that you're getting, because I'm telling you, that word will tear you up. Budweiser didn't come visit me in jail. Jack Daniels didn't send me any money for commissary either. The dope man didn't come to visit me, didn't write me letters. Just tell them, you're in there by yourself. Mommy and daddy ain't there to help you. Them COs could care less if you cried, if you're sick, if you're half dead. I'm just telling you, man. You know what? All the rehabs know how to tell you to do is read this big blue book.
That's right.
I hear people all the time say, yeah, you know, I've been in recovery for... No, I'm recovered. ED. Recovered. I am not in recovery.
Yeah.
I've been recovered. That's it. And it's over with. I don't need a Kelly big blue book or whatever. I got the Bible that says that I've been recovered. He's delivered me from that thing. And listen, it's not only the outward things. I was full of hate. What about the bitterness? Not many of you know how much, some of you might know, but not many know how much I really hated my mother. You ask my pastor how much I hate. I would tell her that to her face because I really hated her. I was full of hate. You know, I was so full of hate, I had hate tattooed across my knuckles. It said hate.
Yeah.
I don't agree with tattoos. I hate my tattoos. My pastor knows that, but you know what? The Lord left them there for a reason. Okay? I had hate tattooed on my knuckles. And after I got saved, I'm sure he forgave. I had hope put on my knuckles because I'm not full of hate anymore. And I do not agree with tattoos. And if you're mad at me, forgive it. That's fine. I don't care. I didn't do it for you. I did it because I don't have hate anymore. I have hope, and His name is Jesus Christ. And that's why I did it. And I was sick of people staring at my knuckles and seeing that on there. It bothered me something fierce. I couldn't wear a glove around all day. I looked like Michael Jackson. So I said, I'll just change it. I changed it. I didn't change. H-O-P-E. I'm full of hope, man. But I thank God. Bitterness. Hated my mother. After I got saved, that all changed. I understood. You see, it took God bringing me to a place, Brother David, of what I had against Him. Not what people did against me. I have some good reasons to be bitter towards people. Believe me, if I sat here and told you a fifth of my life and what was done to me, you'd understand. But you know what? I don't have that. Because I just had to see, Brother Caleb, what God had against me. What the sin was against Him. I don't ever sin against you guys. I may do you wrong. I'm a human being. I will. I have done things wrong. But I sinned against the Holy God, and He was not good with that. He was not okay with that.
Amen.
But I can just tell you this. My little boy right there. See him? His name is Luke. It's my little boy.
He would flinch when I walked by him. Who said that freedom? My wife, when we first started coming here, used to pray that the Lord would take me out because she didn't want to divorce me because she loved me, but she couldn't stand being with me anymore because I was so violent towards her. And she would pray that the Lord would just go ahead and take me out of this world. He did one better. He gave her a new husband.
Hey. Praise the Lord.
Somebody that could take care of her and love her and give her a home right here. That's the only home I could ever promise her. This is her shoulders. This is for her. That's what God did for her. He said, I'm not going to take him out. We're going to let old Dale Morey die. We're going to raise up a new Dale Morey. We're going to give you a good husband.
My kids have a father now, a dad, and they love it. My kid, my son, I mean, he's almost like my... Listen to me. Let me just tell you this. Don't be your son's or your daughter's friend.
Right.
You got to be their parent.
Yeah.
You have to be their parent.
Yeah.
You start being their friend and forget it.
Yeah.
Please, the Bible is very, very clear on you being their parent, not their friend.
Nowhere in the Bible does it ever call you to be their friend. My kids are close to me. They can trust me and they talk to me, but I'm not their friend. They understand that I'm their parent. I love them, I care, I take care of them. A friend is somebody who lives outside the home. A parent is somebody who lives inside the home. And God put us in charge of these children. You know, I pray every day, Lord, these children are your gift. Thank you for giving them to me. Show me how to take care of them. Because I can mess it up pretty quickly. I come from a long line of people who didn't know how to take care of children. I come from a long line of people who don't know how to keep marriages. The Lord's been teaching me how to be a husband, teaching me how to be a dad.
Amen.
Watching men like you guys, the older gentlemen. Watching the ones that have been here and seeing how they've taken care of their wife while they were sick until they passed away. That's what's been teaching me. Watching the old men of God take care of their wives and how they treat them. That's what's been teaching me.
You know why? Because God had to try the reins. He had to show me my heart. He had to light that thing up so I could see the inward parts of me. It almost makes you want to puke when you do see yourself.
Yeah.
It just needs to be. Second Corinthians 4:4 says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." And I can just tell you this today. I know for a fact that God has shined his light on some people this week.
Yeah.
Don't try to shut it off. When you go home, whether it's in this state or another state, don't shut it off. Don't try to blow that thing out. Run with it. Go with it. Let God deal with you on it. Stop trying to fight it. It's time. How many more warnings? How many more times? How many more chances are you willing to take? Please. Pray to God, Lord, show me what you're contending with me about. Show me. Show me so that I can understand. He knows you know all the big things. He wants you to understand what he sees in you that you don't see. It's got to stir that thing up. It's an ugly thing. It hurts. It's painful. But I can promise you this. You don't need drugs, alcohol, or any kind of sexual deviations to help. It won't help you. I promise you that. Am I right, Caleb? You know you're going through it, brother. I'm so happy to see a young man that's going through that. You got to keep his purity. I'm telling you, that sexual stuff ain't going to help you any better. I can just tell you that, right? It's overrated. You know why you guys get all crazy? Because you look at them books, the naked pictures, and you think that's what you're going to get. I'm just going to tell you. The devil's going to destroy your life with it.
Yeah.
Hey, man, girl, or boy.
Yeah.
Them little girls today are just as nasty.
Yeah.
They don't mind them books. You don't want the scars.
Yeah.
You do not, I'm just telling you now, you do not want the scars, that type of stuff will leave you. One more thing, and I'm going to close with this.
The decisions you make today are going to affect you the rest of your life. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
I live it on a daily basis. Whether it be with my body physically, you know, I'm going to get ready to go for another surgery, I'm beat up, I live that type of lifestyle. That's just how it is, okay? Emotionally, the things that I put myself through, the things that people put me through. Those are scars that are there. Okay? And they will try to well up in your life real quick if you don't. I'm just telling you, I need Jesus Christ on a daily basis. I'm so, sometimes it's hour by hour, minute by minute. That's how I got to live my life. But there's not a person in here he doesn't want to do that with. Please, I'm begging you. Jesus Christ already died for you, but I'm begging you. As a friend. That thing that God twinned in your heart this week, take care of it. Get to it. Run to him. Run to him. Let him show you. Just go through that little bit of pain for a little bit. See it. And then tell God, I see it, Lord. And he'll open that door for you. I'm telling you, it's life changing. It's changing life forever. Amen. Preacher, I'm done. Thank you.
Amen. 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 You ever had the chance to go back?